So I've titled my message this morning, Be Still, Know My Salvation, Be Still, Know That I'm God. And how amazing is our God. So a lot of my scripture is out of Exodus this morning. Well, most of it's out of Exodus. And like Leon said, we don't make this up. Like the Holy Spirit moves, and it's incredible, because what Angela said, you know, ties so well into what I'm going to speak on this morning, and then what Leon brought with worship. You know, it makes your head spin when you think about it. It's just amazing. Do you ever want to get away from it all? Circumstances have you're feeling trapped and stressed, worried, and you think, if I could run away, and you know, the grass always appears greener on the other side. That's, of course, until you get there and find that you still have to water it, you still have to weed it, and it's just as hard to mow. This morning, I want to look at a story of salvation by grace through faith. A story going from faithless fear to obedient faith. It's a story of escape from slavery, leaving miserable circumstances behind, but it's also a story of sanctification. Reading Exodus 14:12, it says this: Sorry, 14:10. I'll start in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after him. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So now for some backstory. The Israelites have come out of Egypt. They've witnessed God at work in that coming out experience. They experienced miracles. By being under the blood of the Lamb, they lived through the Passover. So now, having left Egypt under these really amazing circumstances, they're out in the wilderness, and Pharaoh's changed his mind, and he and his troops are closing in on it. At the same time, they're coming to a geographical point where they're hemmed in. They've got mountains either side, they've got the Red Sea in front of them, and then Pharaoh's coming up behind them. So it's a pretty much a cul-de-sac, if you like. There's nowhere to go. The situation is totally out of their control, and it's looking hopeless, and they were afraid, they were terrified, and in many ways, looking at the outside, the situation from an outward observation, it was a hopeless situation. Israel was in serious trouble, and they had no chance of escape, or as it appeared. And so the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and this is a positive thing, you know, they did cry out to God. And when we find ourselves in dangerous places with no visible way of escape, we must cry out to God, because, as it says in Psalms 46:1, it says, "Because God is our refuge, a strength, and a very present help in trouble." You know, so when we are in trouble, God is with us. So from crying out to God, then they go to Moses, and then they say to him, you know, "What have you done? Why have you brought us out here to die?" And literally days earlier, they'd been freed. They'd been taken out of Egypt. And they'd already forgotten what God had done for them. You know, I'd hope in the same situation I wouldn't be like that, but I probably would be. You know, it's one of those, you know, it's a very human thing to, you know, do. So the children of Israel, you know, probably not a week out of Egypt, they're already distorting the past. They're thinking, oh, wow, look how green it was in Egypt. But like, Egypt, I read somewhere, was known for its graves. There's plenty of graves in Egypt. You know, they were thinking, well, it was probably better in Egypt. But, you know, and they're thinking, it didn't make sense. No reasonable mind could really think that Moses, or God for that matter, planned to lead the people of Israel to death in the wilderness. But, you know, it's just human nature. In some ways, when we look like there's no way out, we get scared, we get frightened, and we forget what God has done for us. And so what does Moses do? In Exodus 14:13, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Don't be afraid." You know, at this point, Moses couldn't probably, he obviously knew God was with them, but he couldn't see how good, you'd imagine he wouldn't have any idea how God would come through in this situation. You know, there was a tower of cloud that went ahead of him, so he knew that God was there. But he'd have to have faith in God. Sorry, all he could do is have faith in God and trust God would certainly come through. He would have had to know that God would save his people and the enemies of the Lord would be destroyed. As they were being chased down by the most technologically advanced fighting force anywhere around, they were told to fear not, the Lord will fight for you, all you have to do is keep still. And like, you know, it's not a, again, it doesn't sound like the best thing to be doing. If something dangerous is coming to you, just be still. And again, like, you know, I'd probably shoot through pretty quick, you know. If there's something, you know, the last thing you'd sort of think of would be, just stand still. But that's what Moses tells the people to do. And it's, you know, in those times when we're in crisis or disaster or things looking impossible, you know, whether we're backpedaling or, you know, we're not going anywhere, but instead of driving or fighting or running, we just stand still and stand firm. You know, despair would cast us down, keeping us from standing. Fear will tell us to retreat. Impatience will tell you to do something now, and presumption will tell you to jump in the Red Sea before it's parted. But God told Israel to simply stand still as he reveals his plan. And the mandate from God here is to neither fight nor flee, but to witness, to observe God's power and might. God will do all the fighting for them. You know, God would do all the fighting for them. This detail underscores the fact that the entire action in this scripture belongs to God. It's the Lord's victory. Through this victory, the people of Israel, as well as the Egyptians, see that the Lord's glory far surpasses anything that Pharaoh claims, either military power or status of divinity. The contest between God and Pharaoh had been building through Exodus to this showdown at the sea, and God won. And it reminds me of Christ on the cross. where we can see the Lord's glory far surpasses anything that Satan can claim. You know, as in the start of Exodus, the contest between Christ and Satan was building, and the showdown comes at the cross and Christ wins. But I've spoken on it before, you know, so Christ wins, Christ has won, but I still fail, you know, and we sometimes think that Satan will let us go easily. We think that once we leave his kingdom, he forgets about us, yet just like Pharaoh after Israel, Satan pursues us, attempting to keep us at least the fringes of his domain and hoping to destroy us if he can. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heavens and I will be exalted on the earth." And the context of this is, it's written in the context of time of trouble or war. So we should really consider this verse in mind. It leads itself to, so be still, so stop striving, or stop fighting, which is, and so it's directed to two sorts of things. It's sort of to the world, so stop fighting against God. But then for us as Christians, it's it can be read as snap out of it, wake up, or stop fearing. Acknowledge who God is and be in awe. In Exodus, we see this foreshadowing of Christ. Jesus frees us from the oppression of bondage and sin. He freed us from a meaningless life, a life without purpose. He leads us through a journey of sanctification. Yet it's not like in Exodus, it's not necessarily an easy journey. The journey may be filled with disappointments, hardships, time when you can't understand what's going on, why it's happening. And it can feel like God isn't there, or he's, you know, left us up. But it also helps us see the power and the presence of God. God's always with us. He's never going to leave us. And even though the outside experience, you know, looking at it, it may not be good, looking good, but he won't leave us. And he will journey with us to the end. First, stand still. This is where we connect with God. This is where we remind ourselves of where our hope lies. This is where faith grows. This is where we surrender to Him. It's where we get direction from God, guidance from Him as He directs our paths. He says, "Stand still and see my salvation. See His victory." You know, not because I deserve it, but because of who He is. God has won the war. Amen.